Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here today, and hope you're having a good day. Ann Reed is back with us here on the show as we continue our exclusive series together, Dynamic Personal Development Coach and Keynote Speaker. Matter of fact, I had an opportunity personally to meet her when she came to our television studios, and we did a sit-down, in-depth, conversational interview on close-up television. So we're having a wonderful time with this radio series, continuing to explore more with Ann and learn more about her, you know, as she has always been willing to step outside the box into a new challenge. And as we've mentioned previously on the other episodes of our series on Close Up Radio, really started back in her college days when she traveled to Europe by herself and ventured on a post-graduation cross-country car trip with her roommate, taking nothing but a tent, road atlas, and insatiable curiosity about the world around her. Anne still consciously chooses to do something slightly outside her comfort zone daily. She describes this process of seeking and embracing discomfort as providing opportunities for self-discovery and personal growth. And these practices helped set the tone for Anne's life and contributed to her decision to becoming a coach full-time. Before becoming a coach, an increasingly popular speaker and workshop leader, Anne spent many years rising through the ranks of the financial industry, dealing with the sale of securities, real estate projects, and when her daughters reached a certain age in the early 2000s, she wanted more flexible time, more availability, and to do something that felt more like a calling than work. So she underwent her first coaching training, and the rest is history. You know, there was another element to her decisions. Personal experience that led Anne to realize the full value of the coaching relationship. It was when this avowed outdoors person who never walked or biked more than 10 miles in a single day decided to enter a 100-mile bicycling event. Yeah, really fascinating. She's amazing and good friend of our show. ReedCoaching.com is the website. Let's mention that to you again. I'll spell it for you, R-E-I-D, and then the word coaching.com, readcoaching.com is how you can connect with Ann Reed of Ann Reed Coaching. We have so many great things to talk about today on the show, so without further ado, let's welcome our special guest, Ann Reed, back to Close Up Radio, coming to us live and direct from beautiful Bedford, New York. Ann, welcome back to Close Up Radio. A pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's great to be speaking with you again, Jim.
You as well. And I know on part one, you talked about in in-depth ways becoming a coach and the value of coaching and happiness. Today we're going to talk about your goals for the future with speaking and writing and work and the happiness goals as well. If anyone missed the previous episode, can you recap a little bit for us for maybe new listeners who are listening today? On what inspired you? I know I mentioned a few things in the introduction there, but maybe you can even lay it out a little bit more for us. Some of the things that inspired you to become a coach and what you do as a life executive and personal development coach.
Well, I think I've always been one of those human beings who are encouraging others. I mean, that goes back to being on the playground in elementary school. And obviously doing sports, high school, et cetera, you learn the value of coaching and teamwork. But I think the biggest thing as far as the coaching, and again, I look at this as a calling for me. It's not a job. I mean, I would be doing this no matter what at this point, was my training and support I got through the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society on successfully achieving in about 3.5 months being able to ride 100 miles on a bike, and I had never done that before. And it was a combination of things. One, someone else believed in you, that you could do it. Two, they demonstrated they'd taken people starting much less in shape than I was, more probably less committed, but they still were able in a relatively short period of time, less than 4 months, bike 100 miles. There was also a great training program, and it was very well laid out as far as a series of small goals, small steps. Some of them were daily and some of them were weekly. But if you followed the protocol, it was amazing the progression you could make in strength and endurance and mental toughness in that time period. And then probably the icing on the cap for this was having an absolutely phenomenal coach. And he literally and figuratively a couple of times pushed me up hills. And it was just such a concrete example of achieving something that you weren't really sure you could do with the support, both as far as the coaching and the program.
That's amazing. And, you know, to go on that 100-mile bike trek, I know you and I had chatted about this in our television interview conversation, that that was really life-changing. And to, you know, just to take that initiative to do it and to participate and all the things that you experienced, talk about personal development and enrichment, and that risk-taking and believing in yourself or building up confidence, how beautiful that was for you. You know, with everything that you've been doing, Anne, so beautifully, you're also branching out in new directions too, right? That includes
yes, I am.
Things like speaking engagements, workshops. Tell us about some of that and what you hope to achieve with the new direction and new ventures that you're taking on.
Well, with my history of kind of taking huge leaps, a commitment to myself in the next 5 years is to in some way help or teach a million individuals to be a little bit happier in their lives, because I do believe it's teachable. So obviously this goal means that I can't only be coaching people one-on-one. There's just not enough time. Though I will do a plug. I have about 4 spaces open right now. If individuals do want to work with me, I do general coaching besides the how to be happier in spite of your life coaching. But I have to do big things to reach a million people. I have to step outside my comfort zone. I have to look at things differently. I have to believe in myself and my content totally differently. In a lot of ways, I'm doing something that no one has done quite this way. So it's a little bit more lonely sometimes than training with a group to do the 100-mile bike ride. But I did get the resilience is probably the best way of putting it, of just showing up every day, doing the best I can, and go a little bit further than I did the day before. And that's in creating content and really focusing on outreach. I mean, it's a process. It does not happen overnight.
Exactly what you said. It really is a process, isn't it? It is something that takes time. It is something that you have to really, you know, focus on and think about. And I think that's fantastic. I think that's really great that you're taking these new things on in the way that you are. I think that's fantastic, and congratulations for once again, meeting the challenges head on and expanding your horizons. One of your newer experiences is the book you decided to write about
the
happiness topic. Tell us about how you've structured, well, first the inspiration for the book, the gist of it, and then how you structured the chapters thus far.
I've always been fascinated by how my own mother dealt with life, and she had some pretty rough things happen to her, but she always got up and greeted each day as a new day and new opportunities. And I don't think she was ever super conscious about choosing happiness. And she was certainly realistic about grief, I lost a brother at 2.5 years. My father died relatively young. I mean, some other things that had happened. So there was a realism that you can't create a perfect life. Hence why I described this, how to be happier in spite of your life, because life ends up pretty much being 50-50. And I think it also clusters. The good things, when they come, kind of all come together. And when you go through a bad time, a lot of times that all comes together. But anyway, I'm starting with my curiosity with her. And then working with my clients, so many of them were living in an unhappy state. I mean, you've heard me say that people don't look for coaching unless they have a pain point or they're dissatisfied somewhere in their lives. I mean, otherwise, why would you look for coaching?
Mm-hmm.
But there's such simple things that you can do. And so I realized, and again, I'll give my mom a lot of credit for this, but a lot of the things I had incorporated into my life. And then I started speaking to some of my friends who I really respect on how they navigate life's ups and downs. And right now, I have 40 different ways that people can choose to improve their own happiness. And I think only two of them cost any money. Everything else they can do totally on their own, in their own space and at their own time. That may change a little bit as I put categories together, but right now I have 40 chapters or 40 activities that are available to improve one's happiness. And how I've structured the chapters, I am starting with a quote, or I obviously have a topic. Starting with a quote, I am finding scientific evidence to back up that specific topic. And then I'm sharing a story of someone who has applied that topic to their own life during their trials and tribulations and found that it definitely helped them get through their situation with more grace. So that's it in a nutshell.
Right. Yeah. That is really beautiful. That's quite a nutshell. It's a beautiful one that you've cracked open and you're sharing with the world, too. You know, you have some wonderful, which I loved when we did the television video interview, where we share it with our radio audience, too. Some wonderful personal hobbies that include things like bird watching, biking, of course, and something called grounding. Now, we're not talking about you doing electrician work on the weekends with grounding.
Definitely not. I'll do plumbing,
not quite
but
like
I do
that.
Not do electric.
Right, no electric. although she does set off a spark, which is good, a spark of curiosity and passion and love of life. Some guests that we've had have mentioned this unique way to connect barefoot to the earth. So kind of like electricians ground, you know, a line, they ground it, they sort of balance it. In this case, we're the electricity, and we need to have the grounding. I've always heard, too, that one of the great things you can do, which is something I love doing, is when you walk barefoot on the sand along the ocean, along a beach. And
yeah.
there's something about, and I like doing it sometimes when I'm walking right at the edge of the coast where the water, the ocean tide is sort of slowly coming in, and just going over your feet a little bit and then retreating, and then it comes back in with the foam and goes over as you're walking along the coast, hugging the coast. Tell us about some of these fabulous personal hobbies and activities, and also the grounding that you're involved in.
Well, I love watching nature of any kind, and of course, this past summer is great because you have all the young animals, or the I have a fair number of bird houses around my house, so you get to watch the moms and or the parents feeding, and you hear all the chirruping, and then if I'm lucky, I kind of see them emerge, the fledgings, somewhat awkwardly a lot of the times, and of course I have to go catch my cats, who also like watching the fledglings emerge. So we do have some conflict sometimes around that event.
And who wins? Who wins the conflict?
Well, if I get the cats and take them in, then I win. Otherwise, I'm not going to make a comment on who wins.
Yeah.
You see why there's so many babies. It's like the rabbits rapidly disappear in my yard. I also love sailing, I love water skiing, and I totally hear you about walking along that margin in the sand with the water kind of lapping over the toes.
Yes.
On the grounding, and this one, I have to be honest, I don't yet have this listed in my ways to be happy. But it's something that I very consciously do. I have done some research on it. I mean, basically, the Earth has an incredible electromagnetic field. And we, as human beings, living organisms, have some electromagnetic energy. So you, I mean, they do connect somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided, until I find a really good study, that for me, a lot of times it is being totally conscious of my environment and totally present. And personally, I find when I'll take a walk through my yard or something barefoot or stand at the edge of the water, I am just, there's a serenity that comes with it. I'm not sure how much of it is kind of my mind and my attitude towards it and just slowing down my thoughts and just being, or if I really am in, excuse me, my allergies, engaging in the some kind of transfer of electromagnetic energy with the earth. And right now, I don't care which it is. I just know that it is something that works for me.
Mm. That's fantastic. That is really great. I think, you know, it's something that, do you also like to garden, too? Do you like to get your hands in the soil and garden and plant?
Yes,
and
I do.
Nurture?
Yes.
Nurture,
and again,
yeah.
I love having things grow. I love flowers. I love the blossoms. I love the
nurturing,
color, the textures, the shapes. Unfortunately, now so many of them don't have any scent. You know, even if you buy roses or peonies, they may look good, but they don't smell like anything. But it is an activity. Again, I think it's kind of multifocal. and that I am outside. Sometimes I'm barefoot while I'm doing this. You're touching the earth, so if there is electromagnetic transfer, you're getting the advantage of that. Nurturing something. I mean, it's very satisfying to watch something grow.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
My best plants this year, I had planted seeds, and right now they look great. And I'm like, oh, well, that was fun. I achieved something.
Right.
So, I do like it. It's, and I was not an avid gardener my whole life, and I definitely do some things with wild abandon. And I am, my town is very active in trying to create a pollinator pathway for the birds, the butterflies, et cetera, the monarchs. So next to my peonies, I have milkweed plants. And this time of year, they're not the most gorgeous things you've ever seen. And unfortunately, I only saw one monarch butterfly all summer this year. So anyway, I'll have some nice things, some more formal, not formal because my yard is not formal, but more traditional plants. But I'm definitely going to the black-eyed Susans and echinacea and daisies and columbines and some of the other more naturally occurring ones just to do my part for the environment.
That's fantastic, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's key, right? You know, so it's obvious that you have a variety. You've got a great varied grouping of interests, which I think is fantastic. You know what I mean? It's not just one thing. Everything you said just now is a variety of different things that I think makes it exciting, sort of like the spice of life, which I think is absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's connection.
Yeah.
It's nurturing.
Yeah.
It's community-based. It's visually appealing. You know,
right.
There are a lot of different elements involved with something simple, like
That's
growing
exactly.
your own. You know, whether you have a vegetable garden, which I've tried with more and less luck, and now I have friends who bring the surplus from their gardens over. So I figure that works for both of us.
Yes.
But, you know, it's, to put it simply, it's very grounding to be part of the whole, the seasons, the, you know, the barren winter ground, me living in the Northeast, then you go into the spring and things come up and you can plant and there are new flowers or what have you, and then you get into the summer with all the blossoms, and now you're already seeing the beginning of fall when things start to go back and go dormant. So it ties you in more with the rhythms of the season and the earth.
Right, exactly. And that's fantastic. I mean, that's really, that's exciting, huh? I mean, when you really get a chance to do that, I just think it's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take that much time.
No, right,
no,
exactly.
It's not a huge time commitment. Trust me, I'd rather do that than be doing things on my desk.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll sneak out. But it is something fairly simple if you just have a little bit of space, or if you don't, you could do containers.
Right. Right, exactly.
Right. You live in the city and what have you. So I'm just fortunate that I have enough land or enough yard size that I can actually do this.
Yes, exactly. You know, I want to make mention, too, that you're actually inviting our close-up radio listeners to sign up for an introductory call to get to know each other. And signing up is, signing up is free. And to sort of determine if it's a good match for helping people to set and reach their goals. So, You know, sometimes people hear that. People, and maybe you can break this out for us. Sometimes people will hear something like, oh, sign up for an introductory call so we can, you know, learn about each other and things of that nature. And they like the idea, but they never put the one foot in front of the other. They always think there's a catch, or, oh, I don't know if I'm ready, or should I really even, you know, do this for myself? Talk to that person that's listening right now who likes the idea of the fact that they, you know, can sign up for free and just get an introductory call to converse with you, you know, share with you, and the importance of doing that and to believe in yourself, to not just listen to us saying that that's available, but actually take advantage of something like that.
Well, I think there are two parts to the question. One is coaching for me? And two is Ann the coach for me? So we can tease out both of those somewhat in the call. I say it's 20 minutes. It always goes a half an hour. I equate it to having a first date, and there are people you meet, and it's like, I never want to talk to them again. And there are people that you have some chemistry with and things to talk about and can see developing a relationship with. And I just feel like doing this without charging is so beneficial to both me and the potential client, because it gives us both a time to get to know each other with really no risk except time. And I know when I'm in the kind of situation of trying to decide with work somebody, and it can be an attorney, it can be another coach or whatever, I always feel much better when I've had a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with them first. It just it gives me the information I need to know whether it's right for me, the person's right for me, and the timing is right for me. So I highly recommend it, whether it's with me or somebody else, but to take advantage of an offer like that.
Well, what's important about what you just said is that it has to be right for you and right for them. The fit is actually an advantage, because when the fit is right, when you feel like you actually really can help somebody and that you feel that they're going to really receive and that it's a fit for them, they're comfortable with you and what you do and how you do it, there's really nothing better, because then it's going to be a very powerful and effective relationship, which is exactly what one would want. So that's a beautiful thing that, you know, you it's full circle for both. And, of course, the establishment of trust. Mm-hmm. The establishment of trust is very important, too, between you and them, them and you, and you open up a safe space for them to emote and share and probably share things with you that they don't even share with their closest.
Trust me.
You know.
I have heard, I always say I've heard everything, and then about once a month I get really surprised. There's something I haven't heard.
Something new, exactly. We encourage folks
and
to go to the
website.
Yes.
Go ahead.
We encourage folks to go to the website, www.readcoaching.com. That's R-E-I-D, readcoaching.com. And sign up for the introductory conversation and connect with Ann. Ann is wonderful. She's warm. She's affable. She's funny. She's engaging. She cares. And she's a dynamic personal development coach and keynote speaker, and always thinking out of the box and always, you know, rooting for everybody. Ann, always a pleasure having you on the show, and hope we get a chance to explore some more. And I hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you. It was a pleasure.
Likewise.
You enjoy the rest of your day. Yeah, and you keep doing you, which is absolutely amazing. ReedCoaching.com. Folks, take advantage of that introductory offer as well. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time on Close Up Radio, we appreciate you being with us as well. For all of us here, have a terrific day, and stay tuned. Another great episode of our series comes up in just a moment. Till then, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.